Welcome to the latest edition of Take Note, our podcast about taking notes and paying attention to what's going on around us, hopefully, and reading those notes back to each other to hilarious and at times profound effect. I'm here with Adam. Hello, Adam.
Ted, do you ever think about the fact that our show is reading our notebooks back to each other and think that we've made a horrible mistake?
I think about the first half of that statement quite a bit. I try to dodge the second half of that statement.
Okay.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm doing great. I'm not tired. How about you?
I'm feeling a little bit like Bradley Cooper about three quarters of the way through A Star Is Born.
I have not seen that movie.
I haven't either. That's partly why I feel that way. But you know what? Talking to you, I'm starting to feel like Bradley Cooper three quarters of the way through that duet with Lady Gaga. So it's good to be talking with you.
Did you know that Lady Gaga, I guess everybody knows this, she took that name from the Queen song Radio Gaga?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's a nice tie-in to the Oscar evening, right?
It is. We are timely as ever. This episode will show up a month after the Oscars.
All right, so let's jump into our What Do You Got section, which is, of course, where we ask each other to read something from our notebooks to each other. So what do you got, Adam?
Ted, I wrote down here, Growing Pains theme song. Why? I was driving home today, and I found myself singing, as long as we've got each other, we've got the world, baby, right? Yeah, and then I pulled over to write down this, what I just read to you, and where did that come from? Anyways, that's what I wrote down.
It was in there. So I admonished myself on our Twitter feed, twitter.com/takenotepod, that I've had a bad spate of not writing things down the moment they occur to me, which is obviously the whole point of doing this show is to not do that and to provide some impetus for really writing stuff down. But I've fallen into that trap of it's a combination of thinking, not I'll remember it and write it down later, but it's more like I won't forget that, or if I'm going to write it down, it'll stick. You know, it'll stick. The whole. You talk yourself out of it for some reason, and really, it's a very simple thing to write something down. Well, there was one day where I think I did that three separate times, and it was never. You know, this wasn't. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. These were just normal, you know, daily experiences. But I think three separate times didn't write things down, and forgot them completely, lost to the sands of time. So I'm glad you pulled over, risking life and limb to.
Yeah, I was going good like 23 miles per hour when I turned my blinker on, and I'm I don't think it was a legal spot. But I'm a wild man. Yeah, I mean, the flip side of always writing things down is that the things you end up writing down are Growing Pains theme song. Why? You know, it's not like that's not a diamond in the rough there, Ted.
Well, when the answer occurs to you, make sure you cut across four lanes of highway traffic, get on over to that shoulder, and scribble it down as quickly as possible.
Ted, what have you written in your notebook lately? What do you got?
So it was my pleasure to watch my 6-year-old compete in a school district wide competition, which is the first of its kind for me. So I was
karate
fascinated and intrigued. What
was a karate competition?
No, it was called Name That Book.
Oh, okay.
Where it was a book competition where they would give them clues. It was kind of proto-trivia sort of thing. Give them clues, and they had to name which book it came from. But they sat up on a stage, and each school had a group of six kids, and they were arranged in little circles. And when they would say the clue, they would all put their heads together and confer. And it was all very It was all very... very mathlete. Oh. So while I was in the audience, I had a chance to really observe these teams pretty carefully. So I decided to come up with competitive nicknames for each of the team captains of of the team. And these were... This is grades K through 2. So, you know, young folks.
JV.
JV, the captain of the Roberts Elementary team, I nicknamed the Throat Slitter. Ruthless. Then there was the Bronze Hammer, Dr. Destructo.
Dr. Destructo.
The Red Menace, Smiles Catastrophe, and my wife Caroline offered this one. There was Cold as Ice.
Smiles Catastrophe is a good band name.
Like that. Yeah.
Ted, I would...
what else?
I would love, like, a adult-level book team trivia sort of game. Like, I want them to offer that at the library, serve some beers. That sounds fantastic. Were you doing any sideline refereeing?
Oh, they handed out... They handed out what you're expressly forbidden, of course, from calling out, or even the children were not allowed to look into the audience. They had to really focus on what they were doing. You know, of course, the dad next to me leaned over and said, "Hey, you know, there's probably someone in the back, you know, holding up the cover of the book every time, you know, rigging the system."
You didn't go. Cut in the hat.
I didn't know any of the answers myself. My wife kept leaning over, and she'd be like, "You know, the pig in the city, or whatever." You know, she couldn't help herself from offering the answers.
Pig in the city wasn't a nickname for one of the captains, I hope.
No, that's actually the subtitle of Babe, Pig in the City, which was not one of the books. That was just the first bad simulacrum of a children's book title that I could think of on short notice. Adam, what else you got?
I've written down here, train ride fun found. And this is to remind me, we had a book that became the bane of my existence in this house called Train Ride Fun. It was a library book. I think it's part of the Dino Train series. But okay. We could not find this damn book. And we got a library extension, which they'll give you when you say, "I know I got this book somewhere, can I get one more renewal?" Even though I've maxed out my renewals, and there's not a lot of demand for Train Ride Fun, so they give you an extension. And finally, I don't know, some months ago, I paid the $18 for it. And last week I found Train Ride Fun. And my library, you return a book you've paid for, and they give you all the money back if it's within a certain number of months. And, you know, since Train Ride Fun made me angry every time I saw it, even the before I could see it especially, it made me angry, because it's such a, like, a Train Ride Fun. Sounds like it's not going to cost you $18. Well, it depends on the kind of Train Ride Fun. Anyways, so I return it. The lady gives me $18 back, and I pause and I say, "You know what? I definitely had some fines on this book. This isn't... I would have had to pay a little bit on this book, and you're giving me the $18 back." And she said, "Sometimes it just works out that way."
I think, you know, the book is about a journey, but really, you went on a journey of your own.
I did. Yeah.
When it comes to Train Ride Fun, that does sound like even just the title is kind of infuriating.
Oh, exactly. And can you just imagine the tiny little image that I had from the library website of the cover? I don't even think I could tell that it was dinosaurs on the cover.
Taunting you.
We don't even know where this book showed up. I mean, we looked everywhere. My wife Jennifer, who can find anything, looked everywhere. We gave up. We don't ever give up.
Well, then when did it finally appear?
It was just, I don't know, months later. A month later. I don't know. It's just in the kid's room. Oh, anyway, I'm getting upset.
We've reached the stage of... children intentionally hiding things and creating chaos in that manner.
Probably.
We're there.
Yep.
We're there.
Yep.
Let's see. I got one more. This is barely a what do you got, but I just made a note to myself that I've got a Kaweco Sport fountain pen. It's a nice gray, very light plastic. Really nice to write with. Enjoy it. I dropped it in the parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked it, stepped on it, all completely by accident. Picked it up. Thing was perfectly fine. So I felt like that was worth mentioning on what is ostensibly our stationary podcast. But they call those things the sport, and that thing put up with some sporting clumsiness. So kudos to the Kaweco Sport. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
I've got an orange Kaweco Sport, and I can't find mine. I really like that pen.
So you really big train fund your Kaweco there?
Mm-hmm.
I literally cannot remember the title of the kids' book that we talked about 45 seconds ago. Big Train Fun? Is that what I just said?
Train Ride Fun. It's
Train Ride Fun. No, I had no idea.
You know, when I tell people my phone number, which I'm not going to say, it sounds like a fake number.
Go ahead and read it out.
Too many sevens
now.
And too many threes. It just, many people will just... Yeah, and I said, yeah, it's a real number. But Train Ride Fun is sort of the same thing. It just doesn't sound like I'm giving you the real name of the book.
No, it doesn't.
Since we're talking about dropping things, though, I was at the Apple Store the other day because I dropped my phone. I mean, kid knocked it out of my hand, but really, he's four. I didn't have a case. It's my fault. And I was there because I dropped something the other day, and there was a guy, and I took a couple notes sitting next to me at the Apple Store waiting for his thing. I wrote, guy sitting next to me at Apple, a tablet and two phones, earbuds, a yellow legal pad, iced coffee, big water bottle. On the phone, he says, yo, 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 whatever, Brad Pitt. Truth. He brought three chargers with him. I wrote down his last name. His cousin is going to pick up his daughter Sammy from school. And I wrote, against him, he spread his crap out across a table with enough room for six people. I fixed that because I sat down at it. Chair. In his favor, nice socks. On his yellow pad, I saw the words Winds of West. And then I decided he was a wizard. Winds of West.
Yeah. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Also, Genius Bar, separate guy, just told a lady, my name is Justin. I like your energy.
And that was one trip to the Genius Bar. Yep. I can only imagine just the what they have to put up with in that place.
Absolutely.
All right, so I had so last episode I was anticipating having a what I was thinking of as a meetup at work over around stationary products, and since that episode. It happened. It took place. I hosted this tea time workplace event we have a nice kind of break room. We call it the town center because it's a place of gathering where the polis can come together and that kind of thing. But I had a
Did
ton
you say
of
where
fun.
The polis can come together?
The polis, that's like a Greek thing, right? Like the square, the
Okay.
Right. Anyway, moving on.
Got it.
First of all, I think I made reference to the fact that my coworker called it the Finer Things series, which I found.
Yep.
I thought it was just, it was too much. I was like, this isn't about the finer things. It's about, you know, just, you know, finding a pen that works. Of course, she informed me later. She was like, dude, it's a joke from The Office. Relax. They have this Finer Things Club. And I was like, very well. Okay. Good. In that case, carry on. Totally whiffed on the joke for probably a month. Just absolutely clueless. That's on me.
Have you been to a previous Finer Things event? Or was this
the
first? No,
this was the first. So I set the tone.
The inaugural.
Yeah. So, I mean, I pretty just... First of all, I would recommend it to anybody because it was just a really cool way to connect with coworkers in a different way. I pretty much just bundled up all of my gel pens and rollerballs, all of my kind of, you know, daily plasticky pens that are better than your office pens collection. I brought my, what is my modest four pen fountain pen collection. And I brought a bunch of field notes so people could kind of see the additions. I brought some Blackwing pencils. And I brought a quill pen, a real feather pen, which you, in your infinite wisdom, thought was just too much.
Big mistake.
Would somehow be a flop. The quill pen was the absolute runaway hit of my meetup thing. I put it out there. People could just, and I put two or three ink pots out so people could just dip the quill pen and they could write, you know, do a little, you know, calligraphy or whatever and see the different colors. And that thing was an absolute showstopper. It was an icebreaker. It was a conversation starter. It was a, people kind of went, oh, of course, you know, lots of joking. And it was great. So that was big.
So there were a lot of jokes that went, oh, of course?
Well, like, oh, of course you have a quill pen because you're the pen. You're so into, you know.
Okay.
It was a good entree into, like, you know.
I gotcha.
But then people, but people really got into it. And, you know, I think, you know, someone I think about, like Brad Dowdy from the Pen Addict.
Who?
One thing he clearly loves to do is match people up with a pen that they'll really like.
Okay.
Which I experienced the intoxication of that matchmaking process during this meetup where it was just tons of people coming up and they would say things like, I like a really, you know, narrow pen or something. And I could actually, I could show them like the Pilot Hi-Tech C and they could test it out and people would just go, oh, that's really nice. And that, like, I just had a ton of fun watching that happen. And when you have enough stuff where, like, people who like a thick pen can try this, and people who like a thin pen can try that, it was just a really cool thing. The other big hit was the Coombs two-stage pencil sharpener. I got some legitimate oohs and ahs. When I, you know, I'd say this part sharpens the wood, and they start to go, whoa. And you sharpen the wood, and you pull it out, and it's got the kind of the cylindrical lead, and everyone goes, oh. And then I say, and this one sharpens the lead, and they go, oh. And that,
you're so
that
a wizard.
I felt like a wizard. And the other thing that was a big success, and I learned that putting on a show and having actual stuff that you can show people, you know, rather than just having pens sit there was really took it to the next level. But the Pilot Vanishing Point that I have was also a really fun sort of demo activity to ask. I'd say, here, try out this fountain pen. Just click that plunger at the back and, you know, they'd go, what? Huh? What? And they'd click it and just, whoa, when that nib emerges. And they were not expecting it. That was good stuff. So, long story short, Adam was totally wrong about the quill pen.
Did any of the
glue that held the whole thing together.
Did any of the Polis steal the quill pen?
They did not. Everybody was very, everything was present and accounted for, even though someone could have easily walked off with it. You know, it got to that point of hecticness in the middle of it, which was awesome because there was a buzz. There was a fun buzz. People were really glad, I think, at the workplace to have something to do in a sort of prescribed social activity, but it was not just standing around with, you know, tea and a cookie talking to the same coworkers you talk to all day long. People were stoked to have like something to look at and do and put their hands on. And, you know, I was like, try stuff, write with stuff. And even that, I think kind of, you know, people aren't expecting to be able to just walk up and, you know, open up your pens and start writing. But I, it was really fun to encourage that. So,
what did you have people write in or write on?
I put out a, I put out a Baron Fig dot grid desk pad, which is pretty wide and really kind of perfect for samples. And then I had some other just sheets of pretty nice paper, individual pieces of paper that I just kind of spread out. I really made kind of a spread. I definitely geeked out pretty heavy duty. But I would really recommend this to just everybody, because it.
You think I should try to organize my own at my weird co-working place?
I think it depends a little bit on the vibe of the place. You know,
the vibe of the place is they always try to organize things that mostly people don't show up for.
Then I would.
Okay, and I'll just and maybe a few. Too.
And bring beer, and maybe a few people show up, but then maybe those people, I think there's a real sense of satisfaction that comes from showing people something that they truly might actually appreciate that's based around their own interest. Like, I think a lot of people just don't think about, they don't want to think about pens enough to think there might be something I really like a lot more. Like, I use this certain kind of pen because I like that it has certain qualities, but I'm not going to go the extra step. And then to just sort of hand them the knowledge to go the extra step, I found that to be very satisfying. I was like a salesman, but with nothing to sell except having fun. And it was a cool experience. So I fully recommend it.
Good excuse for me to buy some of those Baron Fig desk pads.
Yeah, there you go. And I love those too. I use those things every day. Those are I love those desk pads. It's perfect for non-committal scribbling and note taking and jotting and all that stuff. So, and it also is a good sample pad.
Nice.
All right. So that's that. And you had some stuff you wanted to touch on
today. I finished my Field Notes dead print from a New Orleans poster we talked about on a previous show. Actually, it was kind of nice to finish it. Usually I realize that the end is coming and in the notebook. And this one, I knew it was on the horizon, but I filled up the last page, I turned the page, and I always have notes for a podcast on the last few pages, and they had been used. So I kind of finished it naturally. But I thought... Yeah. That you could help me decide which notebook to use next, and we could talk about, I don't know, how we make those decisions. I think you don't have a ton, and you just grab whatever you've got, and you're satisfied with that. Me, I like to overthink things. So I had my wife go through, take a look at the big pile of field notes, and choose maybe three to pick next. She included...
Okay, so that's the first interesting move you took right there. You enlisted an agent.
I can't make decisions, Ted. And I have found if I can get Jennifer to tell me what book to read next, I'll read like 9 books in 2 months. But if I leave it to my own devices, I'll get my head in like a Hillary Mantel sort of a book, and and I'll be there for months. So I enlisted a little help. I mean, if you've got. I was going to let you know the three books that I'm kind of choosing from. In these three, she had actually selected the one that I had been on the top of my mind. But if there's something else, you could just call out a request or whatever. If there's something else you're thinking of, but I've got here a Field Notes, Pretty Much Everything memo book. That's the black canvas cover with the orange foil and the orange pages. Yeah. I like those. Yeah. I've used one of those before. I have got a Field Notes Field Museum original edition that they did with those. That's a green cover with, I think, a very dark blue ink on it, and it's lined pages.
Which is visually reminiscent of the Shenandoah edition, I would say. That's what you sent me a picture, and that's what I thought that was originally.
Yep. Oh, that's right. I forgot I sent you that picture. So you know what I'm talking about. Great. And then I have a Landland Field Notes dead print memo book. This is, they did an edition between the Aaron Draplin Dead Print Editions, and then the Mondo Land Burlesque of North America Draplin Editions. There was just Land and Field Notes together. So this is an old poster from designed by design company called Land. And it's got a great soft touch cover. It's got gold foil. It is a drawing of houses, like a ink drawing of houses. And then I guess you could tell me, since I'm colorblind, what color this is. It's a brown or a green, I'm guessing.
It's kind of, yeah, it's a green very similar to the other Field Museum edition that's in our set. But it's green and brown, kind of a splotchy combination.
Yeah.
Cool, look at that. The gold foil on that land is really nice looking.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well,
how
so
do
you just used another dead print, right?
That's
what you finished?
Yep. With gold.
So, print. you can't go dead print to dead print. That's just
out. Okay.
Oh, that's out.
I agree with you, although that is the one that I was kind of I've been kind of just thinking use slaughter the sacred cows, you know, use the ones that are like too yet nice to use. But that's right. Yeah. I can hold off on that one.
Well, so one thing I tend to do is that if there's something unsatisfactory about the one that I've just finished, I'll tend to kind of try to pick a book that has a different characteristic. What I think of typically is, if it's dot grid or graph, by the time I'm done with that book, I'm usually ready to scramble back to ruled.
Yeah.
So, for example, the last one I used, it was a Chicago edition graph, I think. So when I started my new one, I really wanted to get back to the ruled, and the only ruled I have are the pitch black, kind of the standard, not the limited edition, but the... that's my go-to core book now. The ruled pitch black edition that you can always get now. So I kicked it back to one of those. So what's the
ruling on the field notes? Well, yeah, the field notes is line ruled. The museum is line ruled, and then the pretty much everything memo book, that's orange paper with a dot grid.
And that one you got to be wanting to go for it with that one. You can't be neutral on I'm going to use orange paper for the next month.
Right. I'm open to either of these, but maybe I'll go for the simple green and the lined, the ruled. Line ruled. I forgot all the words.
I've given you what I think, but what do you think? What are you feeling?
Well, Ted, I can't make decisions. I like the black linen cover. I like the lined, line ruled, Field Museum edition. It's simple. I think I'm going to go simple. I think I with cool. the Field Museum one.
It's spring. I mean. I think ended up using that Draplin Orange edition around Halloween time.
Yeah.
And there was something fun about sort of stumbling into that. But I think you can say, hey, it's spring. I got this nice green, simple book. That seems like a great fit.
Done. And, I will say, last episode I recommended a hard to find edition, maybe it was two episodes ago. This pretty much everything memo book. I don't know, is it sold out? Maybe you can get it from Draplin. I think if you order the pouch,
hey,
but
I'm not sure.
Worth hunting that one down.
It's cool. Yeah, it's very cool. Very unique. Awesome. Well, I feel like we really made some progress there.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Listeners, let us know how you pick your next book. Is it you want graph paper all the time, or do you overcompensate for your previous edition? Do you like to create some kind of continuity from one to the next? We'd love to hear it. Let us know. Go over to takenote.space and send us an email. Speaking of emails, we got a message from Mike in England, which is awesome. Thanks for listening, Mike. He had a question about the Otto Horizon pen, which I love and I've mentioned in the past. He wanted to know if we could advise of the exact model number of the alternative refill that is better than the sort of factory refill that comes in comes with the Otto. And I got the idea originally, I think, from Brad Dowdy and his review of the pen. But jetpens.com also has a nice listing of the refills that will work, and those are the Pilot LHSRF.
Oh.
Needlepoint refill.
Pilot Lefrif.
The Lefrif.
Yeah.
Very easy to remember. But go to JetPens, look up the Otto Horizon pen, and they actually very conveniently list that out. And that's what I use, that refill. It's quite nice. It's pretty narrow, but I can't remember what width I got. It looks like there's a 0.7 and a 0.3 and a 0.4. Maybe I got the 0.4, but it's good times. And it looks like there's there's a couple other options. So the Pilot LHSRF over on JetPens. Thanks for your question, Mike. Thanks for listening. Adam, let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Sounds great, Ted.